Ephesians chapter 5, I'll give you something helpful tonight and very practical. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves, Ephesians chapter 5, New Testament. You can always remember when you find those four books. Ann likes to repeat this every time we mention these. They're in order, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the little acrostic is, go eat popcorn. So this is the second one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, that's what we've done tonight, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a companion passage to this. You can turn there if you want to in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So you're in Ephesians. Next one's Philippians, short book. Colossians, next book. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, companion passage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so those, as we've discussed before, the word of Christ dwells in your heart richly in all wisdom, and you're taught and you're admonished through the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And your songs are directed to the Lord, and your singing is with grace. It's just, those are tremendous things. And so one more reminder tonight about why we sing hymns. Why we sing hymns. Churches have departed from this. They're thinking that they can modernize. What's really happened is I think they've become more worldly. In the process of becoming more worldly, they have abandoned the hymns because the songs that are being sung today are more worldly. And they're not as much about God as they are about your experience or God toward you. These hymns are your thoughts and praise toward God. The songs today are more about God's relationship back to you, and you become the center. And as you see the change taking place in churches where they abandon the hymn book, they pretty much abandon the Bible, and the next thing you know, it'll change, and over a 2 or 3 year period, it no longer has the foundation and strength that it had before. That's gone. So let's have a word of prayer, just to look at a few reasons why we stay with hymns from the Scripture, from the hymn book. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Father, I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please bless the Lawrences while they're here. We pray that you will give them a good time of refreshing. I know, Father, that they're looking for a little RV-type trailer they can put on their place there in Kingsville and have a stopping-off point when they come out of Mexico. Lord, I pray that you will provide for them and guide them to what you would have for them, what provision you've made for them. Lord, I pray you'll refresh their hearts while they're here in the company and fellowship of the believers. Father, I pray that you will take this little bit of message and these great hymns and encourage our hearts with these tonight and give us a good reminder about why these hymns and why you set it up this way. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, why stay with the hymns? Why do that? Well, there's several reasons. These aren't necessarily in any particular order. They're somewhat random. But I'd say, first of all, they are a testimony to God's greatness. These hymns are a testimony to God's greatness. They put words and music to those words in such a way that as when you sing, your thoughts will be directed to the Lord. So if you sing like we do on Wednesday nights, 4 or 5 hymns, the more you sing, the more your thoughts will leave whatever you had on your mind when you got here and direct your attention to the Lord God. And when your attention is directed to Him, your attention will be directed to His greatness. His greatness. You won't have to pick up a hymn book and follow along with me on these, but here's a song that leads off in the hymn book. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. You're not going to beat that. You wouldn't want to abandon that at all. That's beautiful. Of course, it goes on and continues. I don't have to read every verse for you. You can read the hymn book for yourself. Oh, tell of His might. Oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunderclouds form, and dark is his path on the wings of the storm. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. One that we love to sing and have sung many times before as a congregation and also in our special music. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and the stars obey. And they tell you, you go to school, they say, no, but the evolution, they just busted out. Boy. God put those stars there. God, and they obey God. They obey God. You read these, you sing these things, and your mind is brought out of what's going on. Oh, Lord, my God. Oh, Lord, my God. How great thou art. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Oh, Lord, my God. How great thou art. I remember as a child going to Fellowship of Christian Athletes meetings back when this thing was going strong there in Tennessee, and we went to a youth conference. There must have been 1,500 kids there, and the chaplain of our school, Rocky, was about that tall and built like a fire plug, and he had a tenor voice, and he cranked back and led us in that song, and I thought, boy, now that one I don't ever want to forget, because God's great. God's great. So that's one of the reasons we stay with him, because they are a testimony to God's greatness. But that's not all. I'll tell you another reason, very strong reason, that we stay with hymns. They're scriptural. They're scriptural. These words in here are not scripture, but when he said in Colossians chapter 3, let the word of Christ dwell richly in your hearts, it will with these hymns, because these hymns are scriptural. Now, there are many of these things that are going on in the hymn book. I'll just refer you to a few. We have one that's called I Know Whom I Believe. Okay? And that song is directly out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul said, I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him and against that day. And you sing it. The chorus, I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's taking scripture, put that thing to song, and put it in a way that it's unmistakable this is something that God would be pleased with, because it came from his words. All right? And then we have other hymns. I'll just give you a few other examples of these scriptural hymns. There's a hymn that we sing as an invitation called Almost Persuaded. And that's right out of the hymn. That's right out of the scripture. That's Agrippa. He said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And so you couldn't have a better jumping off place for an invitation than that, because there's Agrippa struggling with whatever it is in his pride that he had to give up in order to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the song says it over again. Almost persuaded, now to believe, almost persuaded, Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. You know what? That was Felix. That stuff is right. I mean, that is right out of your Bible. We have another hymn here called Blessed Assurance. Now, if you're a charismatic, you can't sing that. I mean, if you're a Pentecostal, because you don't have Blessed Assurance. You know, we have that song, we have a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Okay. And, when they sing that in the Pentecostal church, I have a new name written down in pencil. I hope it's mine. I hope it's mine. it might be there tomorrow. It might not be. No, we got a song here called Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song. You see how that goes? Now listen, every bit of that is out of the scripture. Blessed assurance that we have assurance of our salvation. Jesus is mine, Song of Solomon. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We know that from Romans chapter 8. Heir of salvation, Romans chapter 8. Purchase of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Born of his Spirit, John chapter 3. Washed in his blood, Revelation chapter 1. You're not going to beat that. Why, if you got 600 of them in a hymn book, or 530 three, four, five, six songs in here, and you don't know 10 of them, why would you go write a bunch of new ones today that don't mean anything? You know, that's, I think, boy, keep learning these like we learned another one tonight. I think it's fabulous. Well, what about it? I'm preaching. when you learn how to preach and you want to preach this, you get up here and you talk about 198. How about He hideth my soul? How did He hideth my soul? That a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. That's Exodus chapter 33. That's Moses in Exodus 33 and Exodus 34. Where rivers of pleasure I see. Well, you got to get up in the cleft of the rock to see that. But boy, when you do, it's going to be good. And so, you know, this Bible is our life, and this hymn book is scriptural. And it just goes on and on like that. So they're a testimony of God's greatness. They are scriptural. I'll tell you another reason why we stick with hymns. They're easy to remember for most of you. Now, you know me. I make up my own verses, and I get them out of order and all that kind of thing. You know that. But they are easy to remember. They get down in your heart, and they stay down in there. That's why we like to sing those things over and over again. And you know how I know that? There's several ways, but we go to the nursing home every other Wednesday, and we're over there, and a lot of the folks that are in the service with us have the little Alzheimer wristband around their deal. That's got the little I can find you wherever you are beeper thing in it. And they'll come in there, and you know, they'll say, "Hi, who are you?" And I'll tell them who I am. I've been seeing them for 5 years, you know. Do you pastor around here? Yes. What's the name of your church? Oh, yeah, okay. And so I say, well, they'll get the hymn books out and start singing, and they won't look down at the hymn book, and they'll be singing right along with me. They can't remember who I am, sometimes every other week, but they remember every one of those hymns. Now, I'm telling you what that is. That's a testimony that he said that these words are supposed to dwell in your heart. It's their minds that are gone, not their hearts. When they sing, it's coming out of their heart, not out of their mind. And that's why we sing these, because they're easy to remember. Jesus loves me, this I know. Or the Bible tells me so. It's true. You know, you got lost people all over this country that can sing every word of Amazing Grace. I'm Willie Nelson. I suppose he's lost. But anyway, they sing those songs, and they like those songs. But they're easy to remember. And what it does, you've been along some time and something's kind of gotten you, and all of a sudden one of those hymns will come back and come up out of your heart like that, and it's just right there. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. I remember when we would drive with Rocky, it was like a three-hour drive back then from Chattanooga to Knoxville whenever we'd go up to a meeting like that. And I mean, he would start singing hymns when we left Chattanooga, and he would never sing the same hymn twice when we pulled into Knoxville. I'm like, wow. That's tremendous. Tremendous. I'll tell you something else about hymns and one of the reasons we continue to sing hymns. Not only are they the testimony of God's greatness and they're scriptural and they're easy to remember, but they're true. They're true. You see, what you have going on in here is you have something that happened in somebody else's life, or, and they've given that testimony, or what they're telling you is something that needs to be considered because of the truth of it. Like, for instance, we have an invitation hymn called Softly and Tenderly. All right? And that song goes, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling." Now, you know, you probably don't think about this when you sing it, or maybe you have, but I'd like you to consider, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling." He is not pushy. He's not pushy. And there are people that try to push and persuade with gimmicks people to make some sort of a profession of faith. You know what that is? That's a man trying to take credit for something God's supposed to be doing. And so he's not pushy. He's soft. He's soft and he's tender about that. Calling for you and me. See you on the portals. He's waiting and watching for you and for me. And that's what he does. He waits there for that opportunity for you to make that move to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The song goes on, "Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading?" Well, you shouldn't. "Pleading for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies?" Mercies for you and for me. That's true. That's true. So when you're singing in an invitation hymn and somebody is wrestling with their own spirit, the Spirit of God, over whether or not to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is a very important thing, to provide them with truth in song. There's another very true one. I'm just picking a couple out, obviously. Only trust Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Is that true? That's absolutely true. You know what happens when a soul gets oppressed by sin? They don't think they can come to God. How many times have we seen people like that and say, well, I've been away from God so long, I don't think God would take me back. He says, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. You know, we all deal, our problem today is not stress. You're not going to get away from it. It's everywhere. Our problem is managing stress. Okay? You can't eliminate it, not in this society, but you and I can manage it. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He says here, He says, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. And you found that rest in Jesus Christ, not by just voicing a prayer, but when you actually got a little bit of time alone where you could just shut off everything and open your Bible and start reading through the Scripture, you know, after a little while, you notice that wherever you carry your stress in your body and your mind was kind of eased off like that, and you realize, you know what? He was telling me the truth. And just like He said, He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. That is so true. I'll tell you another good reason why we stay with the hymns. They're an encouragement to the hearers. They are an encouragement to the hearers, or a comfort to the hearers. There are times when people will walk into a church like this, been a little bit beat up by sin, maybe been away from the Lord. You get out some hymn books, and boy, I mean, that stuff starts coming back to them, and they are encouraged by what you're singing. You know, one of the most encouraging hymns in here is a hymn called It Is Well With My Soul. And you love to sing it. You see, when you sing it loud. And I do too. I love this hymn. And the thing about It Is Well With My Soul that is so encouraging, it was written by somebody who found out that it was well with his soul in the midst of terrible tragedy. Because he'd lost his family at sea. And when he made it to shore, he wrote this hymn. And he says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. He had seen both of those. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's true. And I'm telling you what, that's an encouragement. That is an encouragement. You know what? I'll tell you how you know hymns are an encouragement. Because, listen, you'll have people saved, godless, doesn't make a difference. And they'll call and they'll say, would you preach a funeral?
Yep.
And at the funeral, we would like these two hymns sung. Turn your eyes upon Jesus in the garden. How great thou art. Amazing grace. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for encouragement. They're looking for hope. They're looking for comfort. And they're in the hymns. They're in the hymns. And I'll tell you something else. They're persuasive. They're persuasive. By that I mean, again, kind of back to the invitation or something like that. When Billy Graham did his crusades, and he'd have George Beverly Shea, sing or whatever. You know what they were doing? They were putting something. There was a work of the Spirit of God being done in the meeting through the songs that were being sung that set the stage for the preaching of the Word of God. And another hymn was being sung at the invitation that persuaded the hearers to consider what was being said and respond to it. They're persuasive, and they should be. There's one in here that I love, and I just want to give you a little bit of this, and we'll wrap it up. But this is a hymn that's called What Will You Do With Jesus? And we don't sing this for an invitation, but now that you're hearing about it, I bet you we will one of these days. But it goes like this. It goes, and just listen to these words. I heard, the first time I ever heard this hymn sung, we were doing a public ministry. We'd been preaching on the street. People had gathered around, and there were some people considering salvation. And one of the fellows he was chiseled out of rock. I'm serious. He was strong. One of those steel faces, looked like it had been chiseled out of rock. And he got up with a high, good tenor voice and sang this after one of the preachers preached. And I am telling you, man, it broke my heart. And I'm saved. But it goes like this. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? But that's persuasive. And it goes through there. He says Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him whatever betide? Vainly you struggle from him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny? Or will you scorn his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die? What will you do with Jesus? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way, gladly obeying thee, will you say? This will I do with Jesus. That's persuasive. That is powerful work done through the voices of a congregation that the Spirit of God can use to persuade a sinner to follow Jesus Christ in faith. Give up the hymn book? I don't think so. No, sir. That is as important to the work that's done in this church as this Bible upon which our faith is based. They go hand in hand.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are indeed thankful, humbled by the greatness of your words and the greatness of the work your Holy Spirit did in the lives of those that penned these hymns. And I pray, God, we'll be faithful to both. Thank you so much for your encouragement to us, Lord. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.